Hello and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. I'm broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. I'm Mike Harbath, President and CEO of Revenue Rocket. And joining me today is my partner, Ryan Barnett. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me here today. Looking forward to having a discussion. Now today, we're digging in into this. Helps conclude a bit of our series in depth on different technology markets. And today we are covering cloud. And cloud is a really ubiquitous term today and its overall definition and meaning, but also its implementation from our clients on both the strategy consulting side and in the M&A. So today we'd love to dig in. And Mike, I'd love to hear your thoughts on why cloud services are skyrocketing and to see if there's any end in sight to this growth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting because, 90% of, mid and large enterprises have adopted some form of cloud or hybrid cloud infrastructure. Certainly there's a rush to the cloud. It's triple digit sort of growth in cloud consumption. The stats say 93% of all organizations are adopting some sort of multi-cloud strategy. And that's all organizations from startups to, large enterprises. And we think that, is amazing. Certainly that's going to drive a lot of demand. It's going to drive a lot of need for expertise for consultancies that can help clients do lift and shift or, not just moving workloads to the cloud, but certainly, originating new opportunities and new sort of workloads and new automation that really wasn't available to them previously because the, price to enter in a traditional data center may have been prohibitive. We see all kinds of innovation with new applications that are being rolled out and are available to actually smaller and smaller organizations that wouldn't have made those investments in the past, simply because cloud is such a cost-effective enabler. And certainly we see the opportunity there, not only to quickly grow cloud-focused businesses, but to ultimately the consolidation within sort of cloud-focused businesses is occurring at a record pace. We certainly see it, and we don't see that trend slowing down anytime soon.
Sure. And we see some providers being a little bit all over the place here today. So cloud means a little bit different to everyone. So in our world, we typically, when we talk to cloud providers, they are implementing some sort of solution that is virtualized servers, virtualized storage. They may utilize a public cloud. And we typically define that public cloud as the three hypervisor providers of Google Cloud, Azure, Microsoft Azure, and AWS, Amazon Web Services. But it's a big market and it's growing. And in some levels, and Matt, I'd love to get your perspective on this as well, is that service providers have to have something about cloud in their arsenal. And I'd love to hear and understand if you're relatively new to this, where do you start and how do you define cloud when you're considering your offerings and perhaps even part of an acquisition strategy?
Well, hi, guys. I jumped in a little late here. I love this podcast because, look, I can finish up a call a little late and jump in and get right into a super fun discussion. Cloud, as I'm sure you guys covered, I mean, it is everything. It is the next generation of computing. And so it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. As a service provider, you are incorporating this as, well, a key tenant to your overall offering. And so, where to start? Well, you got to get smart, and it's not easy. Let's not simplify what it means to work in the cloud and understand it, be it cloud economics, right? The positioning and of offerings that enable end customers to get the most value out of their cloud computing efforts. It is building in, associated IP that makes any cloud offering, you know, better to a specific, be it problem statement or, you know, raising that up and building intellectual property that's going to address a need within a particular, you know, vertical and et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, there's just a whole bunch. And so where to start? Well, you got to get smart. And I think that means that you're hiring people that have been there before. And you go, well, geez, this is all new stuff. I mean, can't we just figure it out? Yeah, you can. But it's going to decrease your time, you know, sort of your as a service provider's time to market. And so go out and, you know, you're hiring individuals with an understanding of, again, I'll use the term cloud economics. Because, well, if you're not familiar with that, right, well, get smart about it. I think in addition to hiring, partnering individuals, alliance individuals with relationships with the major cloud providers, I think that is pretty critical because those relationships with the, you know, with Microsoft, with AWS, with Google, are extremely important in terms of developing your go-to-market strategy, understanding how to work within their ecosystems and the like. And then, you know, the most important, sort of last but not least, is you got to hire some really, really strong technical talent. Cloud native capabilities is a combination of you know, deep infrastructural understanding, cloud infrastructure, as well as cloud application understanding. And those skills are highly sought after. There's nowhere near enough of that skill in the marketplace today. And so, you know, get your sights set on you know, building that capability. And so you have 1 foot in front of the other. Start with hiring some smart people.
Absolutely, I think it's a great point. And Mike, this perhaps bring you in the fold here. What level of specialization do you believe a service provider needs to have? Matt just talked about a lot of different areas of cloud, and it could be from some of the advanced services that we're seeing within machine learning and artificial intelligence. It could be simply data backup or SaaS related type tools. Mike, where can a service provider in this cloud ecosystem make the most hay?
Well, it's a great question, Ryan. For a long time, most of our listeners know we've been a big advocate of, you know, SVP as we determine it, specialize, verticalize, and productize. That's a proprietary approach and program that we developed years ago to help tech services companies accelerate their growth and profit. You certainly can learn more about that on our website at revenuerocket.com. But being consistent with that sort of thinking, you know, as you specialize in certain technologies, particularly specific cloud technologies, that you have expertise in and they're passionate about, you really need to deploy those against the vertical market to fully optimize the opportunity. I know with as much growth as happening in cloud with, you know, a 25% year-over-year growth rate, you know, between now and really 2022 and 2026, there's lots of opportunity to be had. And there would be an argument to be made that, and if you stayed horizontal within an area of specialization in the cloud ecosystem, you'll do just fine. And that's probably true, but so will everyone else. And their competitive threat to you certainly is enhanced when you're not focused on a vertical market. And we know that verticalization is really about eliminating competition. And as people want to move workloads to the cloud, and or look at, you know, online backup or any other specialization sort of attribute associated with cloud computing, they want someone that understands their business and can provide them advice and counsel, you know, not only on the quote-unquote technology, but certainly on the functional aspects of how to deploy that technology in their industry and specifically in their business. And if you have that expertise, the likelihood that that those companies will seek you out, the likelihood that you'll be able to optimize rates and billings in those industries and markets, and the opportunity to do kind of more with less because you're doing much more similar projects where the institutional knowledge that's required by your organization is in many ways streamlined because it's focused on that market, certainly will be enhanced. And so, you know, consistent with what we've learned over the years with consultancies, you know, those rules apply to cloud consultancies as well. You know, pick your poison on the portion of the technology that you know well and you're passionate about and align to a vertical market where you have some expertise and deploy that technology accordingly. And then probably more important, as important as any of these topics, is be an effective marketer to find that business in that vertical. I think as more and more providers provide more and more rich cloud services, the approach of old, which was to be more generic across multi-markets and to not be able to thus effectively market through digital marketing and other marketing vehicles, is proving out to be a fatal flaw in the ability of those cloud-focused businesses to grow. And so, you know, don't struggle mightily by not being able to effectively market or have your verticalization story figured out. Get that done, and you'll find that the opportunity for your business growth is limitless.
Yeah, I think the specialization is huge. You can't, the cloud is so ubiquitous and so large that if you don't narrow in on one area, it's too hard to articulate a value proposition. And then marketing starts to fail as they're trying to be everyone to everything to everyone. I'm curious, and I'd love to know, and this can either go to Mike or Matt, do either of you see, or what's the relationship with the big providers? For example, in Microsoft Azure, if a service provider is implementing Azure, is there any challenge of them actually reselling the cloud consumption? And how does that change their business model? And do you ever see some of these providers changing the economics of how that consumption is bought? For example, does a cloud service provider have to be wary of its very partners that it's going to market with?
Well, okay. So, you know, I think it's understanding, you know, all of the primary public cloud providers have their own method. What is consistent is that they are measuring and goaling their partners within the ecosystem based upon consumption, right? And so, you know, and for, you know, the layman, it's basically how much cloud is being used, right, by those end customers, and associating that revenue to the work that the IT service provider is doing. And they, you know, so back up to 3 years ago, within one of the major cloud providers, you know, there was one firm, one of the partners that was the quote unquote partner of record, right? And then it became very, very difficult for any other partners to get credit for, you know, the work that they were doing and the consumption that they were driving through that public cloud. Now that's changed. And so that sort of system was associated to kind of the old licensing philosophies. And now the providers, the cloud provider recognized that that made it more difficult. And they weren't incenting all of their partners to be working on their behalf towards driving more consumption. So I don't think that they need to be wary in terms of of being, you know, very transparent with those made. As a matter of fact, no, they don't. They want to understand how to best associate themselves and then make that as visible as possible to those major cloud providers, again, within the specifics of their ecosystem, how they track, et cetera, et cetera. And that goes back to what I was saying, you know, you need talent that understands how to work with those, you know, the big three. Mike?
Yeah, I would agree with all that, Matt. I think there's certainly several approaches that you can take, you know, with the big three. And there is no right or wrong answer to that. You know, I do think you need to be wary about how you pick your partners. You know, either going to implement all or you're going to implement one or some. And it's back to sort of this argument around specialization, right, and how you want to manage and bring your business to market. If you're clearly specialized on one vendor and a band or a narrow band of the technologies within that vendor, that's one thing, right? And, you know, obviously getting expertise and being known for that and certainly being known for something is important. Then you're going to do well as you apply that across sort of a more vertical or multi-vertical strategy. You know, however, we have many, many clients who are very successful with sort of a multi-vendor strategy. They are bringing more of an expertise around a particular market, typically vertical market, and they can apply the best of all of the vendors' cloud platforms to that market. And that's, you know, certainly something we've seen in the past as well. But I think as you look at your partners, both public and private cloud, large public vendors as well as small private cloud vendors, which certainly there's a need for that. There's a certain segment of the market that's going to continue to want to use private cloud technologies, whether you're running data centers or private cloud yourself, or whether you're working with a partner to do that. How you select that mix of sort of public cloud and private cloud vendors to suit the solution that you sell into the market, you know, needs to be done with care, and certainly one with, you know, significant expertise in those environments.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. I have to switch gears here for a moment. Is there something that, if you're a buyer in this market and you're trying to acquire a cloud services firm, what are two or three things that a buyer is going to highlight or look for?
Well, I'll talk to some of that. You know, buyers certainly are looking for recurring revenue and cloud providers, just like they tend to look for it across all IT service providers. It's an important attribute. Now, the good news is for cloud providers, a big portion of their revenue is kind of recurring anyway, especially if they're sort of reselling consumption. But it's not valued at the same level or at the same, some people will call it multiple, if you will, as recurring services revenue that they generate. So, you know, we've had a lot of confusion about that in the M&A space about, well, I have a, you know, big book of recurring revenue associated with cloud consumption, thus it should come at a premium multiple. It doesn't really do that. It looks a lot more like reseller quote revenue, even though it is recurring. The more important number is what is the recurring services revenue associated with your offering that allows you to continue to support clients. Now, that's fairly easy to deploy in a cloud environment because it certainly can piggyback or can be bundled with the consumption, and it makes it a little bit easier to sell, frankly. So what we see buyers looking for is kind of what is the recurring revenue kind of numbers, but that all drives to a really important question, which is how much free cash flow or profit is that business generating? Now, pure play cloud vendors – or partners, I should say, service providers can be remarkably profitable. We just got off a call this morning with one that's a new client of our firm, and they're, you know, they're driving material profits north of 30% EBITDA. So there's an opportunity to really drive up EBITDA as a cloud service provider, 30, 40% is certainly rarefied air, but we do see it. And so I would encourage cloud providers to focus on profitability. It makes their business very attractive to suitors, and it certainly will drive up your value. So, you know, certainly this is a similar tune you've heard from us regarding, you know, all transactions, but in the cloud space in particular, there's an opportunity to sort of get to an additional level of profitability that you may not be able to get it to in other, you know, IT professional services businesses or IT services companies. And to answer the question more directly, Ryan, what's interesting, recurring revenue and profitability.
That's great. Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Sorry, Ryan. The only other thing that I would add to that is that, and this isn't just unique to cloud, but I think it's super highlighted, is that I just want to reinforce the talent gap that's in place. Now, I think that that is a sub-item to what Mike said is because if the talent isn't in place, then, you know, the recurring services revenue and that go-to-market model can't be there. But there's just such a dearth of talent within, you know, cloud skills overall that organizations are seeking that out, right? Buyers are seeking that out as you know, to fill the gaps that they have. And so, yeah, I just wanted to note that.
Yeah, I think it's really important to note there are some intangibles in this market on the focus of where you're at, the partnerships you've got, and recurring revenue and profit. I think are the drivers, but they're the need for obtaining personnel in this space is critical, and there is a race of to get into this market and execute well upon it, and the cloud's going to be here for a long time. So I'm assuming this is going to continue. Mike, have you seen any, are you willing to provide any kind of evaluation methodologies that you've seen for this market or any ranges in valuations that you've seen on the for buyers and sellers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen deals sort of in the 7, 8, 9 range of trailing 12-month EBITDA. You know, most recently, I think the deals will tend to clear at 7 to 8 pretty easily. Could there be, for an extraordinary company, could there be valuations higher? Sure. And could there be ones that are lower? You know, the answer would be absolutely. You know, the net of it is, you know, it depends on the overall health and growth of the business, the market it's targeted on. You know, and you always have to keep in mind that it comes back to a willing buyer and a willing seller. And, you know, what a business is worth to one buyer may be vastly different than it is to another buyer due to the strategic synergies that are available. And so, but in general, those are the multiples we're seeing and where deals are trading for cloud providers at this time.
Great. That's the questions I've got. Matt, I'll turn it over to Matt. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I guess I stated it before. If you haven't associated the cloud, regardless of what type of service provider you are, if you haven't incorporated the cloud, then quite honestly, you're behind. And I'm sure most of you who are listening have. I think that look long and hard at the investment that you are providing to your organization to become best in class in the cloud, and really build, you know, your ongoing vision around that as a primary method towards, you know, driving your business forward. You know, we're here to help. You know, Ryan's got a great deal of experience in this space from his past life. So do I, and obviously so does Mike. And so, you know, we love to talk about it with our customers, plan for it. We're learning. I guess if that was the last thing that I'd say is if you're not continuously learning and continuously growing, then, you know, yeah, others are, and you're probably going to be falling behind. So, you know, with that, Mike, how do we end this?
Hey, with that, we're going to tie a ribbon on it. Look forward to having you all tune in to next week's podcast, or we'll continue discussions about how to grow your IT services firms profitably, how to conduct M&A transactions, and ultimately try to share a little bit of the wisdom that we've gathered over the last now almost 21 years in business here at Revenue Rocket. As a reminder, we're the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisor to IT services companies, and you can learn more about us at RevenueRocket.com. Thanks, and have a great week.